We'd like to welcome you to our June 7th worship. The good news is, if you are watching this, you may be watching this the same time that we have our first worship service outside. So we will be celebrating this same service outside on June 7th, and we hope to continue to worship outside until we feel we can come inside. So it's a great day for us, and we hope that you enjoy a good time of worship wherever you are. We also want to remind you that we prefer your giving is to the P.O. Box, P.O. Box 970, still in Fenton. So if you would continue to give that way, we would appreciate it. Let's look to Psalm 84, to our call to worship, reading verses 1 through 4, and then verse 10. And these verses remind us of the joy that we have in knowing God. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Let's stand and sing our next few hymns.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Father, we come before you, worshiping you this morning. Wherever we are, we join in with saints all over the world who are worshiping your honor and your glory. We thank you that you are indeed thrice holy. We long to be in your presence, and this is just a taste of what it will be in glory. May you pour out your Spirit upon those who speak and sing and pray and preach, and for every single person that is worshiping here. We pray this now in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, Amen. And now let's stand and sing God the Uncreated One. For our confession of sin, I'd like to read out of Hosea 2, 10 through 13. This is an unusual book in the Bible, and it's on a few unusual verses. But I think when you see the first verses we read before I give you time to confess your sins, and then the next verses that are assurance, you'll see how these go together. And remember, God is a jealous God. When he says these things in his word, it's for our good. This is Hosea 2, 10 through 13. Now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and no one shall rescue her out of my hand. And I'll put an end to all her mirth, her feast, her new moons, her Sabbath, and all her appointed feast. And I will lay waste her vines and her fig trees, of which she said, these are my wages, which my lovers have given me. I will make them a forest, and the beast of the field shall devour them. I will punish her for the feast days of the Baals, where she burned offerings to them, and adorned herself with ring and jewelry, and went after her lovers, and forgot me, declares the Lord. Now let's take a moment for you to confess your sins, and I will conclude that by reading assurance of mercy and grace. Let's pray. For those of you who truly repent, listen to these words, continuing on in Hosea 2, beginning at verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. And there I will give her her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. And there she shall answer as in the days of her youth, as at the time when she came out of the land of Egypt. And in that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband, and no longer will you call me my Baal. For I will remove the names of the Baals from her mouth, and they shall be remembered by name no more. Let's now stand and sing our next hymn, The Steadfast Love and His Mercy Is More. I'd like to direct your attention to Revelation 2, the last book of the Bible. We're going to be reading what God said to the church at Ephesus. You'll notice in his judgment on this church, it's a very discerning and precise judgment. He praises them for some things, but then he rebukes them for the other. And this rebuke that he has is a very central part of Christianity. But then the last verse, you'll see, it's not just to one specific historic church. It's to everyone that is part of a church to be aware of our own weaknesses and to repent and to seek his mercy. So we'll be reading Revelation 2, 1 through 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the work of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Let's pray together. O righteous Father, God of justice and truth, we come to you in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We praise and adore you for your sovereign and tender love. We worship you for the glory that eternally emanates from your wonderful self-existing being. You provide eternal joy and complete forgiveness for your people, and your people come from every race, tribe, and nation. You are good, and all you do is good. And you want your people to love you with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Pour out your Spirit so that we will love you, the great God of creation, and so we will obey your righteous commands. God of justice, we are an unjust people. We are witnessing our black brothers and sisters saying that their black lives matter, and there should be no reason for them to have to say that. Help us to listen and to learn their history, the violence, the humiliation, and the subjugation of 401 years in our country, the injustice that we have perpetrated. Rage is an expensive emotion, heavily taxing those so engulfed. May more of us ask questions, admit that their stories are valid, and they are just as horrible for any human to endure. May we learn their stories about their past and present, and may we be good people of peace. Lord, we pray for our leaders, our police, our military. Guide our political, business, educational, even sports, entertainment, and journalistic leaders. Help us to deal with the many problems in our country, to deal with COVID-19, to deal with our racial injustice, to deal with the everyday problems that we have. Be with business leaders who are attempting to keep their business afloat and paying for help. Be with those who are hurting, who need social closeness. Father, we pray for our country. Lord, we pray also for those who need you, who are facing difficult health issues, who have financial struggles. Lord, we pray that our ministry would draw people to Christ, would help them to see how great and glorious you are, and that we would point people not to ourselves, but to Christ. over and over again. And may we honor and glorify your word. Father, be with each person that is worshiping here this morning, not just on this app as they watch, but also for Christians all over the world as they struggle with many of the same things we do, and possibly more successfully. Lord, draw us to Christ, draw us to love him, and to see the Christ of the Scriptures, not of our own imagination. Lord, we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to also read in 2 Corinthians 9, and we'll be looking at verses 3 through 5 as we consider our giving. It's interesting that in this section, 2 Corinthians 9, Paul is actually boasting about the giving of people, and he wants to be sure that his boast is authentic and it will come true. And so he sends co-workers ahead in Corinth to make sure that they were giving. And I'd like to read those verses for you now. But I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready, as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your grace and mercy to us, the wealth that we have, the income that we have. Lord, we have people that are not yet working full-time. They're students or they're young. We pray for those who are retired and pray for those who are working. For all of us, we have limited income, but help us to willingly give to you, to be happy about giving to you so that your kingdom would increase. We pray this now in Christ's name.